Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, in your presence our voices are hushed as we stand in awe before you. Fix our eyes on Jesus, that we may become one body, his body in the world. We ask in his precious name. Amen. Martin Luther, after whom we are named, was an Augustinian monk, a Bible scholar. He was used to long hours alone in a monastery. He did things like translate the Bible from the original language, taught and preached. So he was used to long hours alone before his teachings brought him into the public glare of controversy. Naively, he just thought and intended to bring reform to the one church he knew, but forces beyond his control used his teachings to force a split in the church. There have been many splits more since then. When the people protesting were cast out from the Church of Rome, becoming Protestants, some of those persuaded by the biblical teaching of Luther started calling themselves Lutherans. Luther was said to be a blustery man. He was a big man, but he was also larger than life in his personality. Hearing people calling themselves Lutherans, he's reported to have railed back loudly, "Don't let them call themselves a name after me, lousy worm of a man that I am. I am nothing. Let them name themselves after Jesus Christ, who saved them." Luther thought we should all just be called Christians. He thought it was a very bad idea that we set ourselves up on little teams. He would be horrified at the number of denominations now. All signs, he would think, are the ways we haven't been able to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, how we have allowed human differences to divide us. "Oh, I'm so glad I didn't baptize any of you," the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. "Well, maybe I did baptize a few of you, but that's not the point. If any, I baptized almost none of you, so you can't pull me into your shenanigans. Who do you think we pastors are, anyway? Are we God? What I mean to say to each of you is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" It usually takes a little while after a pastor comes till people are ready to bring their little ones to you for a baptism. They want to know you, some first. Grace hasn't had a baptism since last January. I'm hoping we might have at least one this spring. Like many pastors, I love this part of my work, the preparation of a child and his or her family for baptism. It creates a special bond. It reminds me how special pastors are in our tradition, why these transitions between settled pastors can be so challenging, how hard it is when something is awry in the relationship between pastor and people, as it has sometimes been at Grace. Paul wants us also to see how our natural affection for our leaders can get distorted. So we lose sight of the order of things, the gospel, the good news of Christ, as through all and above all. Our leaders, our staff, our friendships, our pastors, our loved ones, all should point us to the gospel, to Christ. But sometimes these things, which are so important in our lives, get in the way of what is essential. It's in this, his first letter to the people at Corinth, that the Apostle Paul develops the image of the people of the church becoming Christ's body in the world. Becoming a body by taking in the body and blood of Christ, then being sent out as the body of Christ into the world as we leave this table and this sanctuary. It's not just Grace that's the whole body, but in every place that the sacrament is offered. But it's also fully grace that becomes the body of Christ. Paul's ministry with the church, the people of Corinth, with people he loved, no matter how frustrated he felt with them about the conflict they were mired in with each other, Paul's ministry was to try to show them how real differences might be understood, received, even appreciated as God's gift to them, so that all of the body might function well together for the sake of the world. Here's another way of saying that. What we're doing together as church, it's not about you. It's not about me either. There's a precious place for each of us in it. But this whole thing we're about together, it's about God and about God's work in the world for the sake of the world. Now you are the body of Christ, Paul will say later in the letter. You are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it. It's about our being little Christs in the world, as Luther would say it. Paul is asking a question that takes us onto sacred ground. Does my way of being part of the body of Christ and of this branch of the body here at Grace in Hatfield give honor and glory to God? In the deepest sense, that is a question for each of us to answer as we stand before God, not for someone else to answer for us. In our own ways, I am sure that each of us knows what smallness is, can even find it in ourselves when we are not at our best, when we can dare to look at ourselves in the safest spot we can find for considering such tender things. Now, the Apostle Paul doesn't dwell much on what is going on inside a person. He just doesn't do that. But he has something greater in mind for us, that we see the power of God creating of us. Yes, just ordinary folks like us, into a living body together, part of the very body of Christ in the world. See? Become it. There's a place for each one in the body of Christ, as Paul imagines it, a place for eyes and ears, for parts we cover modestly and parts we parade out before the world, a place for leaders and line workers, for imaginative thinkers, and for ones who catch our mistakes. There is a place given for each of us. It's not the God place, and your pastor will not be Jesus. Those spots are already taken. But your spots have been given by God, by the spiritual gifts you have been given, and each one is precious. What then shall we say about the church as a body when so much is changing in our world that sometimes we can barely recognize it? About a church in transition again, taking things apart to be able to put them back together again in a stronger way. I've heard that when a caterpillar goes inside the chrysalis, if you were to cut the chrysalis open in that time before it has become a butterfly, you would see neither caterpillar nor butterfly. What you see inside looks like a messy goop, like it's nothing, like it could be nothing, as the caterpillar is broken down already. And it's not yet the butterfly. It's in preparation for becoming a butterfly. Perhaps that is our place always, this side of heaven, on our way somewhere and not there yet. I know it can feel that way in the midst of transition. As we move through this time, I hear Paul pleading with us to learn how to reform our hearts. Please, 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 he says. Please be united in purpose and set your eyes on Jesus. Amen.